I want you to find the Gospel of John, and we're going to be in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You know, every morning when we wake up, we're faced with a decision that holds great risk for us. And that decision is whether we're going to get out of bed or not. Now, I think a lot of us would vote on the or not part, but, you know, when we roll out of bed, we're taking a great risk because we really do not know what that day holds for us. It may be the routine. It may be just the mundane. Or it may be the strange and the unexpected. That's what some shepherds in Turkey discovered. Their day had started out like every other day. They were eating breakfast together while their sheep were kind of hanging out and, you know, grazing on the hillside there when it happened. One lone, self-destructive sheep decided that he could fly, and he jumped off the cliff. Now, the shepherds had to be sitting there thinking, that was strange. That was unexpected. But things were about to get worse, because that one lone, self-destructive sheep who thought he could fly set into effect a series of dominoes as a third of the flock that was on that hillside decided that they wanted to try to fly as well. Their flight was short-lived, and so were their lives. After the incident, one of the local newspapers reported that over 400 sheep died in that cliff-diving experiment. Amazingly, some of the sheep who were toward the back of the cliff-diving line survived, because as the sheep began piling up at the bottom of the cliff, they provided a nice pillowy pile for the others to fall on. I guess the Bible's true. Sometimes it pays to be last, doesn't it? Dr. Bob Smith, a retired philosophy professor from a Christian university, said that sheep are prima facie evidence against the theory of evolution. I mean, when you think about it, there is no reasonable explanation as to how and why sheep should have survived the battle of natural selection or the survival of the fittest. Think about it for a minute. A saber-toothed tiger doesn't make it, but mutton does. Now, sheep did not exactly win the genetic lottery. Sheep are dumb. They can't forage for themselves. They can't fend for themselves. They're prone to walk the same barren paths that they walk each and every day. They eat poisonous plants. They can't care for themselves. And though they're easily frightened, they continue to put themselves in harm's way. Sheep are also directionless. They get lost, and they're not even trying. They just get lost. My dog went missing for a month. She had the run of the entire south end of Lowndes County, and she made her way back home. A sheep can wander off for 3 minutes, and if it chooses to come back, it probably can't. It's directionless. They're also defenseless. They have no natural means of defense. They're not geared for fight, and they're not geared for flight. They are easy prey, and they are susceptible just to an endless array of enemies. Without someone to take care of them, sheep are dead. Sheep cannot survive on their own. Sheep need a shepherd. There's no greater tragedy than to see sheep without a shepherd, or sheep in the hands of a bad shepherd. And it is to this unflattering imagery of sheep that the Bible continually compares us as people. According to the Bible, spiritually, we are all like sheep. In the face of our enemies, we are helpless and we are defenseless. We cannot overcome the problem of our own sin. We're no match for death. We have no hope in judgment because, without question, all of us are guilty before God. We are all easily overwhelmed and overcome by the enemy of our soul, Satan, and by the sinful desires that rest in the heart of every person that draws breath. We are directionless and we are stubborn. The prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 6, that all of us like sheep, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. It is the nature and the habit of sheep, and it's the nature and habit of people to go where they shouldn't go and do what they shouldn't do. We're easily lost, we're easily confused, and because of our wandering tendencies, We find ourselves not going to God, but we find ourselves going away from God. And that attitude the Bible calls sin. To put it mildly, sheep are just plain dumb. And from a spiritual perspective, so are we. We are self-destructive. And if we are left to ourselves, we will run straight off the cliff of death and into hell itself because of our stubborn rebellion and sin against God. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. You know, from a spiritual perspective, I have just described everyone in this room. I have just described everyone who draws breath on planet Earth. Without a shepherd, we don't have hope. Without a shepherd, we cannot survive. And without a shepherd, we're dead. We need a shepherd. And the good news is that God has provided a shepherd for us. But not just any shepherd. He has provided us the great shepherd, the good shepherd, with whom none can compare. Let's begin reading John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 1 through 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they will simply not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what these things were which he had been saying to them. And so Jesus said to them again, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep. He flees and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he's not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. And they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up. This commandment I received from my Father. In the very first verse of that chapter that we just read, Jesus tells us that there are those out there that want to take advantage of the sheep. There are people who want to lay claim to your life and to your soul, but they're not legitimate owners and they're not legitimate shepherds. You know, in that day, you had a couple of different types of sheepfolds or sheep pens. You had the ones that the shepherd would make out in the pasture of some loose stones that they would gather and some sticks and brambles and bushes that they would pile around them. But you also had the community folds or the community sheep pens that were near the city that were walled in with only one door. And all the shepherds would hire a doorkeeper or a gatekeeper to guard that door. And if you were not a legitimate shepherd who had the authority to access the sheep, you were not allowed in. And anyone else that came into that sheepfold to try to lay hold of the sheep, they were illegitimate and they were unauthorized. There are a lot of things in this life that try to lay claim to your heart and your mind and your soul. Folks, they don't have the authority to do that. They are not legitimate reasons for you to live and to draw breath, nor should they control and direct your life. Jesus said, all those things and all those people that came before me are thieves and robbers. And he said, all they want to do is hurt you and destroy you and take your life from you. And he said, those people, if you'll pardon the pun, the only thing they want to do is to fleece the sheep. They don't love sheep. They don't care for the sheep. The only thing that they are interested in is themselves. Now, he was making a direct reference to the spiritual leaders of that day, the religious leaders of that day, who should have had the good of the people at heart. But instead of having the good of the people at heart, the only thing they were concerned about was their own life, their own power, their own influence, their own position, and their own financial gain off the backs of other people. And that's still true today. He was making a reference to those who walled in the people of God with laws and with regulations that could not bring life and that did not bring hope. Folks, they didn't bring life, they didn't bring hope, they can't provide forgiveness, they cannot broker peace with God. You know, those things that we so easily give our lives to in pursuit of, they don't care for us. They don't care for you. They're not going to provide for you. You'll find out in life, as you walk through life, the things that you give your life to, the people that you associate with, when life really comes crumbling down around you, they don't have the answers. And the only people that they're really going to care about is themselves. There's only one who genuinely cares for you, for your heart and for your soul and for your eternity. We need to understand that God has provided us with the good shepherd. He said, the people around you, speaking to the people in that day, he said, these spiritual leaders, they don't care for you. And he's connecting it to what happened in John's Gospel chapter 9, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, when Jesus healed a man that had been born blind. He'd been blind for over 40 years of his life. And Jesus healed him, but the people who should have been concerned about him and happy for him were not happy for him. They were ticked off that Jesus had performed a miracle and broken one of their man-made rules and regulations on the Sabbath day. They didn't care for them. And God looked at the people and he had compassion for them. Because he always looks at people and he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. And we said the one thing that a sheep needs is a shepherd. Because without a shepherd, the sheep perish. And God condemned them here in this passage, and it ties into what he said about these false spiritual leaders even in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, he talks about the spiritual leaders that did not care for the eternity and the spiritual condition of the people to whom they were caring and speaking to. In Ezekiel 34, it says this, "Thus says the Lord, woe, shepherds of Israel." And he's not saying, woe, hold on a minute, though they should have. He's saying, you're in for it. You're in trouble. What I've got to say is not good for you. He said, woe, shepherds of Israel who've been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you don't strengthen. The diseased you've not healed. The broken you've not bound up. The scattered you've not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. He is describing everything that we give our lives to in this world apart from him. It can't heal you, it can't save you, it can't bring you hope, it can't bring redemption, and it cannot bring forgiveness of your sins. He goes on to say this in Ezekiel, they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. They became food for every wild beast of the field. They were scattered. My flock wandered through the mountains on every high hill. They were scattered over the surface of the earth. No one searched for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord. Now, I want you to listen to this. Because this is looking all the way from the Old Testament to the New. He says, I will deliver my flock so that they will not be food for the enemy. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. And it's not talking about David, it's talking about the seed of David, the promise of David. And he will feed them. He will feed them himself and he will be their shepherd. When we look at John 10 and we talk about Jesus as the good shepherd, you've got to read it in light of what God said to those Old Testament religious leaders and the religious leaders of Jesus' day who were failing the people because they were binding up burdens and placing it on them, saying, if you just work hard enough, if you just hope enough, if you follow these rules and follow these regulations, you're going to find what you're looking for in life. Folks, you're not going to find what you're looking for in this life in rules and regulations, in being good or doing enough. You're only going to find it in Jesus Christ. He's the one that God sent. And they should have understood that. These religious people, these teachers of the law should have understood what Jesus was telling them. You've had these people that should have been caring for you all these years and they haven't. I am the one that God has promised. I'm your rescuer. I'm your hero. I'm your provider. I'm your protector. I am the source of salvation for you. I am the true shepherd. And because he is the true shepherd, the only true shepherd, he alone has right to lay claim to your heart, your mind, and your soul and your eternity. He says, I'm your rightful owner, and you should listen to my voice. Because only in me will you find salvation. Only in me will you find eternal life. These other things that you chase after in life, they're not going to give you hope. They're not going to give you peace. They're not going to provide forgiveness for you. Earlier we said the sheep's salvation is found where? Y'all going to sleep on me, so I'm going to ask you a question. It should be simple. I've used the word shepherd at least 1,000 times. So I'm giving you the answer ahead of time. Wink, wink, nod, nod. The sheep's salvation is found where? It's found in the shepherd. And Jesus is making this claim. He says, I am the only way of salvation. He said, I am the door of the sheep. If anybody enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out, and he will find pasture. I am the door. He also says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And to them, he says later on, he says, I give eternal life. The sheep's salvation is found in the shepherd. He's the door. He's the shepherd. Kind of sounds like Jesus is mixing his metaphors a little bit, doesn't it? Jesus, you need to make up your mind. We're a simple kind of folks. Are you a door or are you a shepherd? He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He's a shepherd and a door. He's a shepherd door. You see, in those days when they built the pens either in the pasture or the ones that were outside the city, those communal pens, they would only have one door. And the shepherd would lay down in that entryway. And the shepherd would become the door. No one could come in or go out without the shepherd knowing it. Nothing could get in or out without the shepherd knowing it. He was the shepherd door. Jesus is saying, if you need salvation, if you need forgiveness of sin, there's only one way. And there's only one person who has the right to give it. And it's me. If you're looking for peace with God, there's only one place that you can find it. It's with me. If you're looking for someone to take the burden of guilt off your shoulders and the fear of eternity out of your heart, the only place you're going to find that is me. If you want eternal life, there's only one place you can come to. There's only one door through which you can enter in order to walk into heaven when this life is over, and it is me. Jesus is making a very bold, a very clear, and a very exclusive statement when he says, I am the door. He adds to it when he says, I am the shepherd. These are emphatic statements. If Jesus is the door, it precludes there being any other doors. If Jesus is the shepherd, it precludes there being any other shepherds. He's not one door to salvation among many. He is the only door of salvation. He's not one shepherd among a crowd of other shepherds that can meet your needs, that loves you, that cares for you, that provides for you. He is the only shepherd that cares for you, that loves for you, and that provides for you. He is the only shepherd who has the right to lead you and lay claim to your life. You know, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to eternity, too many of us have a Subway approach. Anybody ever eat at Subway? Or a sandwich shop like Subway? You know, you go in and you get to walk into the store and they're going to ask you what you want. And you make your order and then you got decisions to make. They got like 5,000 different kinds of bread that you can choose from. Then they got meat. You can get single meat. You can get double meat. And men like meat, so most of the men are going to get double meat if they're not too tight with their wallets. And then you've got a bazillion toppings that you can place on it in any order. And you can ask for extra of this or less of that. Then you've got all the condiments that you can salt and pepper and salt and vinegar and whatever spicy stuff you want to put on. And you can make your own sandwich. And we like that approach to life. We like that approach to religion. We like that approach to salvation. We like that approach to eternity. But that approach is not going to get you into heaven because you don't have the right to create whatever Savior you want to create. You don't have the right to determine which way is a good way into heaven because there is only one way. Jesus said, I am the door. And if you want to be part of my sheepfold, If you want eternal life, if you want heaven, you're coming by me. You want somebody to meet your needs, to protect you, to provide for you, and to carry you from this life into eternity, then I'm the only shepherd capable of doing that. You say, well, what if I don't like that option? What if I don't like that way? What if I don't like that door? Well, you're free not to choose Jesus. But I want you to know that when you reject Jesus, you're rejecting the only way of salvation. You're rejecting the only hope for eternity. You're rejecting the only one who can give you eternal life. You're free not to choose Jesus, but when you do that, you reject the only path of forgiveness, the only way of salvation, the only door of heaven. You're free to reject him if you don't like the option of Jesus, but it's going to keep you on the outside today and for eternity. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the only one that has the right and the authority to speak life over the heart of another person. Jesus not only claims to be the only way to eternal life, but Jesus also makes the claim to be the only one who can give abundant life. He's the only one who brings meaning and fulfillment to your life. And I believe that's what a lot of people are looking for today. They're looking for meaning, and we're trying to define ourselves this way or that way. We get involved in this or that because we think it's going to satisfy our hearts and our lives. Jesus said, I'm not just the key to eternity. I'm the key to contentment in this life. And in saying that, he's not promising us everything the world promises us, because Jesus knows that when the clock strikes midnight, everything in this world is going to evaporate and it's going to vanish. And the only thing that matters and the only thing that lasts is what he's given and what he provides. Actor Jim Carrey said this. He said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they've always dreamed of. In some churches, that'll get you an amen. To be honest, I think most of us would like to try it. But he says, I think everybody should get rich and get famous and do everything that they want to do, so that they can find out that it's not the answer. That's a man still searching. That's a man still longing. The answer is not in the things that this world offers, folks. The answer is very simple. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. When he makes those statements, I am the door and I am the shepherd, he is laying claim to divinity. He's announcing that I am the self-existent, unchanging, eternal God who was there in the beginning, who created all of this, who controls all of this, and who is sovereign over all things. He is making the unmistakable claim to be God, but he's also saying something else when he says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. He's saying, I am everything that you need. I am everything that you need. Is your soul hungry for something to satisfy it? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Is your spirit parched and is it thirsty, looking for something to quench that longing that persists in your heart and in your soul? Jesus said, I am the living water. Are you tired of living in spiritual darkness? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Are you lost and have no idea how to find your way back to God or to eternal life or to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the good shepherd. I love you. I will care for you. I will provide for you, and I will protect you. Folks, those are bold claims, aren't they? If somebody walked up to you and they told you, looked you in the eye, and they said, I can satisfy every longing of your heart, you're going to try hard not to laugh or turn your back and run, because you're going to think they're half crazy and dangerous. But Jesus is saying, I'm the answer to everything you've ever wanted and everything that you've ever needed in this life. I am the bread, and I am the water, and I am the light, and I am the way. I'm everything that you need. And you should follow me. Jesus, why? How can you prove to me that you are everything that I need? everything that I'm really longing for? How can you prove to me that it's found in you and that you are the answer? Because he said, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And he can take it up again. Listen to these words from 1 Peter. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. In verse 18 of chapter 3, Peter says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us back to God. Folks, we understand that like sheep, we've gone astray. That's that verse we read earlier and referenced earlier in Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But there's more to that verse. It says, but God has laid our iniquity, our sin, our guilt, the punishment of that sin and guilt. He's laid it on him. Jesus, how can you tell me that you're everything that I need and everything that I'm looking for and hoping for and longing for? Because I did what no one else could do or would do. I laid down my life for you. And I took your sin. I absorbed the wrath and the punishment of God in my body for you. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay it down so that I may take it again. Nobody takes it from me. But I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Now, that's just an amazing statement right there. Think about it. Every person in this room, if you so chose to do this, you have the power. You don't have the right. You've got the power to take your own life. You could look at me and tell me, I've got the power to take my own life, and I would say, you're right. But if you looked at me and said, I've got the power to take my life and then to take my life up again, I'd say, you've lost your mind. But Jesus is here and he says, look, I've got the power to lay my life down, but I've got something else. I've got the power and the right and the authority to take it up again. And that's exactly what he did at Calvary and on that third day when he walked out of the tomb. Jesus, how do I know that you can give me eternal life? Jesus, how do I know that you can forgive me of my sin? Jesus, how do I know that you can provide for me in this life? Jesus said, I died for you, and I rose again in your place. You can trust me. I have bought you. I have right to you, and I have authority over you. And folks, in doing that, Jesus did what we could not do. He overcame all of our enemies. He overcame sin. He overcame death. He overcame hell. He overcame Satan. And he removed the judgment of God that hung over our heads rightly because of our sin. That's one strong shepherd, isn't it? That's one great shepherd. He has provided everything that we need. Our salvation is in Jesus. The sheep's ability to thrive and to survive is found in the shepherd. Jesus gives not just eternal life. Jesus gives abundant life. He loves us, he said, and he knows us by name. But not only do we find that our salvation is in the shepherd, not only do we find that our satisfaction is in the shepherd, but we also find that our security is in the shepherd. Jesus is the source of our security, our eternal security. He keeps the sheep and he protects the sheep until he brings them home. And Jesus will not lose one of them. Folks, I stand before you today as one who can say with all sincerity and all honesty and all confidence that my eternity is set. My salvation is set. It will not be moved. You say, how can you say that? Do you think you're that good? No, I don't think I'm that good. I think I'm that bad. I'm not basing it in my goodness. I'm not basing it in the things that I have done or the things that I think I can do. When I say that my eternity is set and it's immovable, I'm basing it on the finished work of the perfect shepherd who died on the cross for my sins and who said, I give you eternal life. I'm not basing it in the love that I have for God. My love waxes and my love wanes. I'm prone to wonder still to this day. I'm basing my eternal security, I'm basing the immovability of my eternity not on my love for him, but on his unchanging and undying love for me that was proven on the cross when he gave us his son, Jesus Christ. That's why my salvation is secure. That's why my eternity is set. That's why heaven is certain, and it's all because of him. My salvation rests in who he is as my good shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. They depend on the shepherd. And folks, I've got a shepherd who's overcome sin, death, hell, and the grave for me. And I have no reason to fear. And I have no reason to worry. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can take these things from me. I want you to drop down in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we're going to read about verse 27, okay? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them. Do you see the next words? They will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Man, no wonder the Apostle Paul could say with all confidence at the end of that great chapter, Romans chapter 8, that we looked at on our Tuesday evening service. He said, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, just as it is written, for your sake we're being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our salvation is in the shepherd. Our satisfaction is in the shepherd. And our security is in the shepherd. The question is, how do true sheep respond to the shepherd? He said, those who are mine, they hear my voice and they follow me. Maybe you're here today and you have never received the gift of salvation. I want you to hear Jesus' words again clearly. There is no other way. I am the door and I am the shepherd. You are hopeless in the face of sin. You are helpless in the face of judgment. You are guilty before God, and apart from a wondrous work of God's grace in your life, you are going to die and be separated from God in hell for all of eternity. But maybe you're sitting here and you've heard this voice calling, offering salvation. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow. I want to encourage you to respond in faith and repentance today, understanding that you are a sinner who deserves judgment in the face of a holy God, but you're also a sinner that is greatly loved. You're a sinner that's greatly loved by a God who met your deepest need by sending you his greatest treasure in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin so that you can have life. Your salvation is in the shepherd. Maybe you're here today and you are a believer. I want to ask you a question. Are you still listening to his voice? He's the good shepherd. He's not just a way to salvation. I'm grateful for that. He's not just a security for my salvation. I'm grateful for that. But he's also the source of satisfaction and joy and meaning and purpose in this life. And the only way, listen to me, the only way that you find that is by following the shepherd. The only way you find it is by following the shepherd. We're to live a life of obedience and trust in him. I like what Dallas Willard said. He said, unfortunately, you find the Lord is my shepherd written on more tombstones than you find written on the hearts and lives of men. Folks, do you want an abundant life? You want a blessed life? I'm not saying it's going to be an easy life. But do you want an abundant life and a blessed life? Follow the shepherd. Why should you? He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for you. And he's the only one who has the right to call you. And if you belong to him, you'll hear his voice and respond in faith. Let's stand and let's pray.